followers of Jesus are called to live sober and upright lives in light of the sudden, unexpected coming of the day of the Lord.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You know, there is a new phrase that's become popular in our society. It describes a movement among some people in our society calling for some new thinking or new attitudes. And they're calling for people to be woke. Have you heard that expression, being woke? Maybe some of you, raise your hand if you've heard that expression. Okay, there's a few of you here. Okay, to be woke, what does that mean? Well, in the parlance of our society, it says, well, the people need to, and by the way, when I say this, I'm not saying I agree with everything that these folks are saying, okay? I think there's merit in some of what they're saying. There's truth behind it. But I'm not endorsing everything that these folks are saying, all right? Are we clear on that? Okay. So with this then, there are these folks who are saying then that people need to become woke. That is, they need to wake up. Wake up to what? Well, they need to wake up and see and realize all of the oppression of the current power structure around us and throw it off, to become woke to that, awake to that, to see it for what it is, this oppression of the current power structure. It can be the oppression of capitalism, for example, or the patriarchy, or racism, or sexism, or homophobia, all of these things that we're hearing about so much now. People need to be woke, you know, to wake up to the reality of these things and the terrible nature of those things and to cast them off. Well, I would say that indeed God's people are called to be awake. But it's a different kind of thing, isn't it? It's not the same thing as being woke. God's people are called to be holy, to walk in holiness. And that means, yes, that we are not to be racist or sexist or hate people, any people. But we're called to be awake. That is, to proclaim God's love, God's holiness, God's truth, and to do so then, soberly aware that God is going to judge all persons, that Jesus is coming again, and He will bring judgment with Him. So God's people are called to be awake and alert to God's coming judgment. The Scripture refers to this coming judgment as the day of the Lord. It's a major theme in the Scriptures. The day of the Lord. The day of Yahweh. The day when Jesus Christ will return and bring final judgment. Scripture says that when He comes, He is going to judge all people. He will usher in the kingdom, the millennial kingdom. After that will be the final judgment in which all the dead will be raised and they will receive final judgment. After that, a new heaven and a new earth. But that day of the Lord that Scripture speaks of, that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He brings His judgment to bear on the earth. You know, there is something I have said a number of times, and you're about to hear it again. Who is excited that you're... Well, you don't know what you're about to hear. I know Sandy's excited to hear this, all right? But I've said it for, and here it is. This may be on my tombstone one day, I don't know. But it's this. It says, there is no such thing as ultimate injustice in the universe. See, I know that this world is not just. Has anybody else noticed that? That the world, that life is not fair? That the world is not just? That our justice system doesn't always get it right? Now, I'm thankful that we do have a justice system, right? Can you imagine if we didn't have that at all? But I also realize our justice system is imperfect. And the fact is, a lot of people get away with things too, don't they? In the human court. But you see, there's a divine court isn't there? And nobody is getting away with anything there. And that news, first of all, that ought to encourage us to realize that there really isn't anything as such thing as ultimate injustice. Yes, there's injustice in this life sometimes, but it's not ultimate because God will have the final word. So know that. But the reality of that ought to also then impact how we live today, impact us, and first of all, in being ready, to be ready for that day. Now, we can be thankful that we're not going to face God's ultimate or final judgment, are we? Because Jesus absorbed the judgment for us. So we are not going to face God's judgment. Jesus already was judged for us. But he will bring judgment on those who have not believed in him. And we need to be aware that we need to live in that realization. We need to love and pray for our neighbors, right? But we need to live sober, upright lives, knowing that when he comes, he will judge all. And yes, there is a judgment for believers as well, though, right? The judgment seat of Christ, in which he will examine our works for the purpose of reward. So we need to live in awareness of that as well, to be awake to that, to live awake lives then. So today then we're continuing in our series in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, how we can have hope in trying times, looking at the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 10. We see that followers of Jesus are called to live sober and upright lives in light of the sudden, unexpected coming of the day of the Lord. So before we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, a little context here. Again, I know this is a surprise for many of us, but it seems that even though that Paul had taught them about the second coming of Jesus, he had given instruction to them on those things. But it seems now that after he had left the church, those believers in Thessalonica, he had left there, and now a report comes back to him that there was some confusion over this teaching on the second coming of Christ. That's a real shocker, isn't it? That there was confusion over the teaching on the second coming of Christ. We've still got a good bit of confusion today, even so. We have all of the scriptures. We've had 2,000 years to study and ponder this, and we're still a little confused about some of the details, aren't we? The important thing is we understand the big picture, the big picture outline of things, that Jesus is coming, that he will judge, and that he will, there is going to be a new heaven, a new earth. So we can be grateful for that. But the details can be a little confusing for us. And so they were confused about some of this. There was we saw last time about how there is going to be a rapture or a catching up of believers when Jesus comes, that the bodies of those who have died in him will rise first, and then those who are alive will be raptured, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so in seeing that then, because this is just the beginning, that's not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord then is when this judgment, when Jesus Christ returns in glory and power to bring judgment on all the earth. And so when is this going to happen? When is the second coming? This is what the Thessalonians were wondering. You know, some of them were missing or were wondering, have we missed out on this? Did we miss out on this? And believe me, you're not going to question if you missed out. You're going to know. You're going to know when it happens here. And so Paul is teaching them and giving them some further instruction on this day of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, then turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. We hear Paul is speaking and he says to them, "Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Now, interestingly, there's kind of a mix of the metaphors here, being awake and asleep, and a little difference in meaning depending on which part of the passage we're looking at. But we'll get to that in just a moment. For now, though, then, you and I as believers are called to be awake, to keep awake. And I think that's every pastor's desire each time whenever preaching a sermon is for the people to keep awake. And I want you to know you guys do a pretty good job of that, of keeping awake here with this. But this is a different meaning here when it says keep awake. Keeping awake, what? Being alert to these truths and living and orienting our lives in the light of these truths. That's what it means to keep awake here. So here then we're told about this day of the Lord, this day when Jesus, when the Son will come again and he will bring judgment with him, the day of the Lord, God's judgment. And on that day then, the day of the Lord, we're told, it's going to come unexpectedly. It's going to come unexpectedly. Notice it says, now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. Concerning the times and the seasons, you know, when is this going to happen? People are obsessed and have been obsessed from day one about the times and the seasons, about when is it going to be? When is this going to happen? When is Jesus coming again? When is the rapture going to take place? Well, as I said, we've had quite a few people who've been more than happy to give us dates, haven't they? Don and Joy can tell us about the long and sordid history of people who have made fools of themselves setting dates, right? Some even down to the very like September, when was it, like a couple of years ago or something? It was September 21st or something like that. And then it moved to October when that one didn't happen. And that was like Harold Camping. That was what, like several years ago now, right? So anyway, so people have made fools of themselves thinking that they can set dates here for the times and the seasons. But you know, interestingly enough, that question for when is this going to happen, that isn't just a recent phenomenon. You know who the first people to ask about that were? The disciples, Jesus' own disciples. You remember, they were expecting when Jesus comes, he's the Messiah, this glorious kingdom is coming here. And they were expecting that, and they didn't quite understand the suffering Messiah and the crucified Messiah, the dying and rising Messiah. Well, they did come to understand that then, didn't they? After those things happened, after the resurrection, they understood it more fully then when the Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. But if you look in the book of Acts, you see right there, after the resurrection, shortly before Jesus ascends back into heaven, what do his disciples ask them? Lord, is it at this time that you are going to restore the kingdom? And what does Jesus say to them? It's not for you to know the times, the days, the seasons that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power, right, when his Spirit comes upon them, and you will be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So there's what? Don't you be worrying about those dates and times and seasons. You are going to be my witnesses here, right here where you live, in the surrounding regions, and in fact, to the ends of the earth. So the very first persons who were wondering about times and seasons and dates were the disciples of Jesus. And his answer to them was what? Don't you worry about that. You be concerned about what I am calling you to do, which is to do what? Be his witnesses, to make disciples. And so I would say that same thing to all of us today who can become so fascinated with this that we're trying to set dates and times and look for that. Now, we need to be awake, alert, but setting dates and seasons? No, we need to be witnesses making disciples of people. That's our calling then. So you don't have need to have anything written to you about times and seasons. You just need to know what you already know, which is what? For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Will come like a thief in the night. Have you ever had someone break into your home? Stephen, like a thief comes? And were you expecting that to happen? No, you just all of a sudden, whoa, there it was, it happened, right? Now, well, I've been fortunate, I've never had someone break into my home and do that. But I did have someone break into my car a few times. This was when I was living in the city in Chicago. There were several times. This was back, remember when it was the, I'm going to reveal my, show what an old guy I am these days. I don't know if this even still happens. I don't know, maybe it still does. But remember back in the day, way back in the 1980s, you see, I'm going way back here, folks, right? Some of you saying the 80s, way back in the 1980s, remember the big thing was to have a really cool car stereo, and you'd get like another, you know, like an aftermarket stereo, and you'd get an aftermarket equalizer, and you'd get that and put that in there and do all of that, right? Well, I had about two or three of those taken from my car. And that's the thing. It doesn't matter. You get it taken and what? Oh, come on. You gotta have your tunes, right? You know, so I had several times, and one time came when I had left the city. I'd moved up to Deerfield. I was in seminary at the time, but I went back down to the city for a Cubs game. Who is surprised by that? I was going to a Cubs game, right? So I go down there. I'm parked on what I did is I parked on Wells Street down in the River North area there, and was visiting some folks there, and then I went over and jumped on the subway to go up to Wrigley Field to the game then. So I go to the game. Cubs lost. But I came back then. I go over, and there's my car. And I see that telltale sign of the shattered glass on the street next to it. And it's like, oh, man. I look, and of course, my stereo, my equalizer, again, is gone, right? Well, I ended up replacing it, and that's the last time that ever happened. That was the last time that ever happened, so I'm glad for that. But at any rate, then, I was surprised. I was not expecting that to come back and see, oh, a thief has come and taken the stereo out of my car. Well, that's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes again. People are going to be going about their lives saying, what, peace and security? And then all of a sudden, whoa, we weren't expecting this. So the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. By the way, anybody remember that old movie from the early 70s, The Thief in the Night? Yeah, how many of you saw that on like an 8mm film in a church basement somewhere or something like that? I did, yeah. Yep. So people aren't expecting it. But God's people should be expecting it and be alert. But more on that in a moment. So the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, when it comes then, unexpectedly, it will bring sudden, inescapable destruction. You know, we wonder, you know, it's like, where is God? Doesn't God see all the horrible things going on in this world? Why does he allow this to go on? He knows. He's going to bring judgment. And it's going to be sudden destruction. And it's inescapable. No one is going to get away from it. And what are the people saying? They're saying what? Peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I have never been pregnant. I don't anticipate being pregnant ever. Yeah. You know, it used to be that would go without saying, but in our society, that's a little iffy these days, isn't it? A man being pregnant. So, but that's another issue. Speaking of being woke, but I promised I wasn't going to go there. Okay. So anyway, just like the labor pains come suddenly upon the pregnant woman, so the pains of God's judgment are going to come suddenly on the earth. Now, of course, there's another analogy, though, that Jesus talks about with these labor pains, though, is these labor pains, it's a time of excruciating pain for the woman, but then she gives birth to the baby, and then there is joy in this new life, in the baby that's delivered. Well, God's judgment is going to come, and it's going to be fierce, and it's going to be painful, but it's going to give birth to the new world. And in that, then, we can rejoice in that. But for these folks here who aren't prepared for that, there isn't joy to follow. It's just, it's sudden, inescapable destruction. No one will escape it then. But the reality is no one escapes God's judgment now either. No one ever has escaped God's judgment. No matter how things may appear here in this life, God will have the final word with every single one, won't He? So the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. It'll bring sudden, inescapable destruction when He brings His righteous judgment upon the earth. And so then, the day of the Lord then should not surprise believers. It should not surprise you or me that this day comes. We shouldn't be surprised by any of it. Why? Because you and I, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, the Scripture says we are children of the day. We're not children of the night or children of the darkness. It's another common metaphor in the Scriptures is to speak of holiness and righteousness as being like light and living in the day. Whereas unrighteousness, unholiness, sin, rebellion, evil, wickedness is seen as being darkness or the night. That's why, like for example, in that John, the Apostle John, especially liked to use those metaphors of light and darkness. You see that in the Gospel of John and in his writings, the Epistles of John. But it's interesting when Jesus was betrayed in the Gospel of John by Judas. That Judas then, Jesus told Judas to go out from among them at the Last Supper and to go out and do what he must do. And it says, and Judas left them, and it was night. Now, I don't think John was making a commentary on what time of day it was. He was saying, "What? And it was night," that this was a dark moment, an evil moment. And so you and I, if we're followers of Jesus, we are called to be children of the day, children of the light, who walk in righteousness and holiness. It's those who are in the dark that will be surprised by all of this. But you and I, no, we are children of the day. We are children of the light. So we ought live accordingly and to be awake to this reality and this truth. So the day of the Lord, then, it'll come unexpectedly. It'll bring sudden, inescapable destruction. It should not surprise believers. And in fact, what it should do is it should motivate believers. It should motivate believers to live sober and upright lives. Let us not sleep. What those who sleep do so at night in the darkness. He's using when we literally sleep, unless you work like third shift or something, we sleep at night, don't we? Well, the people of this world are asleep in the spiritual night. But we are to be awake in the spiritual day. So let us not sleep. And it says what? Those who get drunk at night. Well, oftentimes, I know people can get drunk any time of the day, right? But usually what? The carousing, it tends to happen when? at night, right? In the same way, he's saying what people then, in their sinful rebellion and excess, they do this in the darkness of night, the darkness of sin and rebellion against God. So they do that. So we are not to be drunk like that, but rather we are to be sober, what, disciplined, self-controlled men and women of the day, walking in the light of God's word, prepared. So let us not sleep. Let us be alert, awake. Let us not be drunk, out of control, but let us be sober, that is, living disciplined, upright lives, lives of self-control, holy lives. Then speaks of the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. You know, this kind of goes along with the classic passage on the armor of God is found where? Ephesians what? 6. Ephesians 6 is the classic passage on the armor of God. But here we see a little different take on that armor. And Ephesians 6 is what? It's the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Here he speaks of a breastplate of faith and love. As the breastplate of righteousness in Ephesians 6, righteousness, our righteous standing in Christ and living a righteous and holy life, how that protects us. Well, here, the breastplate that protects us is faith and love. Faith in God, love for God, love for God's people. And then our helmet that protects us is the hope of salvation. But is what? Ultimate deliverance. That God is going to ultimately deliver his people in, from, and through all of that. That's our hope. We've said Thessalonians is about hope in trying times. Well, these are trying times, aren't they? Well, the reality is it's been trying times for a long time on this old earth. But there's hope. And that hope is our salvation, our final and ultimate salvation. The helmet of the hope of our salvation, the breastplate of faith and love, protect us. So this knowledge of the day of the Lord that it's coming ought to motivate you and me then, not to sleep, but to keep awake, alert, living sober, disciplined, upright, holy lives. That's how we keep awake, is by living in the light of that, living sober, upright lives. Finally, then, the day of the Lord, then, it will bring salvation. It will bring salvation for believers in Christ. Look again, verses 9 and 10. It says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him." Believers are not destined for wrath. You know, I'll just say quickly on this, some of question. This goes back to last week. Is the rapture, is that going to happen? Is it pre-tribulational? Is it mid-tribulational? Is it pre-wrath? Is it post-tribulational? The answer is yes, right? No, we don't know for sure. Good men and women of faith have different points of view on that. But some who believe that this is going to take place, that the rapture will take place before the tribulation, point this and say how we are not destined for wrath. That is, we are not destined for this pouring out of God's wrath. That's certainly a possibility. Others say, well, this is, we are not destined for wrath. That is, we're not destined for eternal wrath because we're saved. We're the saved in Jesus. So once again, I'm going to do you all the great favor of saying, you figure it out for yourselves, okay? How do you like to having a pastor who just tells you, I don't know, you figure it out for yourselves, right? Well, I think there are things that are very clear in Scripture, and we need to be clear about the things that are very clear. But there are some things that we might debate a little bit about, and this is one of those things in which I'll say to you, you figure it out. You see what you believe on those things. The important thing is what? Is that Jesus is coming and that we are not destined for wrath. We're destined to obtain salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what matters here. But here we see an interesting little mixing of metaphor here. where he says previously he said we are to be awake and not asleep. That is, we're to be alert, not living in ignorance of these things, right? But here then he says at the end here in chapter or verse 10 that we're going to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. That's a different use of awake and asleep. There, awake is what? Physically alive. Sleep is physically dead, right? The body is in the grave there. And that points back to Thessalonians 4 there about the rapture and that passage there. So whether we are awake or asleep, that is, whether we are alive when he comes or asleep, those who have died, all of us will live with him. And that is our hope. That is our hope. So what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, again, I would remind us where we started. Followers of Jesus are called to live sober, upright lives in light of the sudden, unexpected coming of the day of the Lord. So I ask you, are you awake? Not are you woke? That's another thing. Are you awake? Are you living in the awareness and the truth that Jesus is coming again? And when he comes, he will bring judgment. He'll bring judgment on the earth. But there is also going to be a judgment that we as believers will face, the judgment seat of Christ, where our lives will be evaluated for the purpose of reward. We need to live in awareness of that, being awake, not sleeping. But then, are you leading a sober and upright life, living in the light of this truth, orienting your life to this truth that Jesus is coming? And so we ought to live disciplined, holy lives, because it matters. That's how we ought then to live in light of the day of the Lord. Sober, disciplined, holy, upright lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this hope of final salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that you are a just and righteous God, that you are going to bring final judgment on the earth, that there is no escape from your ultimate justice. And because of that, Lord, we pray for family and neighbors who do not know you. We pray, Lord, that we would be faithful witnesses of the gospel message of hope, that people can escape your judgment and your wrath through Jesus Christ and have hope in his name. And God, may we then, in the light of his sure and certain coming, which will be unexpected and will bring sudden destruction, may we keep awake and live sober, upright lives, grateful for the hope we have in Jesus and living in the sure and certain hope of his return. And we pray all of this in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.